Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace, thanking and praising your name for this Sabbath day. We ask, Father, that you would open our hearts to receive your implanted word, that you would truly be with your servants, and that you would bless us, that you would watch over us, that you would cause each one of us to humbly come before your throne of grace, Father, to seek your face and to do that which is right in your sight. Again, Father, the words that you've prepared for us this day, may these words have power in our lives. May they move within our hearts and cause us to draw closer to you as we seek to serve you better, Father. We love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. We thank you for safe passage here. We ask that you bless your servants throughout the world who've come together to give glory to your name and to praise you on this, your holy Sabbath day. And in Yahshua's holy name, we come before you seeking a blessing. Bless all those that have a petition before you on the prayer list, and let you answer, hear and answer prayer according to your will, Father. In Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may all be seated at this time. I've entitled this message, Yahshua Has the Perfect Perspective. That Yahshua has the perfect perspective. Yahshua is the author and perfecter of our faith. It is He who directs our sails, our guidance system of our innermost desires. He is our Aleph and Tau, our Alpha and our Omega. He sits in the perfect position because He has the perfect perspective. And what gives Him that perfect perspective? He is the beginning. He knows what's coming in our lives. He was there in the beginning. He is the creator of each and every one of us. Hebrews chapter 12, our opening scripture. It's Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. Excuse me. It says, therefore, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. See, there's a race that has been set before us. Each one of us has to overcome this life. Okay? We come in, we have no control over when we come in and when we go out. All we can control is what's in the middle. Okay? Looking to Yahshua, the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one. He's the one that has drawn us through Almighty Yahweh's Holy Spirit. He's drawn us to the Father. Okay? He's the author. He's the one that's written the book of our lives. He's the one that has protected us as we were little children. He's protected us and brought us through our lives to this point. Like I said, He sits in a perfect position because He knows what's going to befall us. But we being free moral agents, we can choose which direction we go in. See, some people, and I talked about this a while back, keep my finger there. If you go over real quick to Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 10, it says, my son, if sinners entice you, And it should say, when sinners entice you, because it's going to happen. You know, as young people, we were growing up, we knew that there were certain people in the neighborhood that were up to no good. Okay? And this talks about gangs in the Bible right here. It's talking about, you know, the one that says in verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. You know, let's jump the next person coming out of the store or coming around the corner, you know, so we can put the money in our pockets. Instead of working for it, you know, we can just take it. You know, it's a group of us. There's only one or two of them. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as Sheol and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with plunder. You shall cast your lot among us. We will all have one purse. We're going to put all that money together. So of course, it's going to stay with the leader. He's going to stay in control of it. And we'll dole it out, you know, later. Right? But see, what Yahweh is already showing us, this is going to happen to each and every one of us in our lives. And it may not come in that particular direction. It might not happen just like that. But for most of us that grew up east side Baltimore, it happened that way. You know, I had a guy ask me one day, and matter of fact, I just got my car. And this is my first car. I'm riding around in a new car and just enjoying myself, you know. I mean, I know the guy from the neighborhood. And he asked me if I'd give him a ride. He needed to go pick up some tires for his dad. His dad had a flat, and he needed a couple new tires. I said, no problem, you know. It's right down the road, Edison Highway. Drove him down there. So he goes in to the gas station to get these two tires. He said he needed for his dad. He never came out. Next thing you know, it's all over the place. You know, the lights are going, blaring. I'm sitting there, and the police pulling guns and asked me to get out of the car. I said, well, what did I do? He had a stolen credit card. He was, trying to get some things on that stolen credit card that he could sell. So he was buying stuff. He needed me to be the purveyor because I had a car. And unbeknownst to me, I'm the driver. So they take us down to the police station, and the police asked, what's going on? I said, well, you know, his brother asked me for a ride to pick up some tires. And that's all I did. I took him to get tires. You know, everything checked out, what I said. Now, if this person was not, even though he was a criminal, if he wasn't a criminal of character, he could have said, yeah, he's with me and I'm in jail. Yeah. You know, there's honor among thieves. He told a man all I was doing was providing him with a ride. I knew nothing of his plans, his nefarious plans. So the police let me go. And I went on home. But he ended up in jail. You know, because, and like I said, it was not something that I had planned that day to spend hours in jail, you know, but I was trying to do someone a favor, and yet I could have ended up years in jail because I tried to do something I thought was decent and nice. But what the scripture is showing here is that if sinners entice you, they're trying to get you to, you know, go with them to do something negative. And I know a lot of young people in our neighborhood ended up in jail doing things that, you know, they just went along with somebody else. They went along for the ride, and they ended up stealing a car. Or they ended up, you know, robbing a bank. I didn't know we were robbing a bank today. Oh, yeah, that's a long part of the deal. You're hanging out with the crowd. You're in the right group now. 30 years. They got 30 years robbing a bank. You know, and this is not rocket science. People are just trying to take things. What does the scripture say? If sinners try to entice you, you say no. You don't want to go in that direction because that's contrary to where the author and perfecter of our faith, Yahshua the Messiah, wants you to be. See, it says here in verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 12, looking to Yahshua, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the torture stake, despising shame. It was shame involved in that torture stake. See? In Israel, those who were put up on that torture stake were ashamed. Despising shame and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Now that's sitting in a pretty place. He's sitting somewhere that's really a good place. Even after going through that shame, and guess what? He did it for us. He didn't sin. He did nothing to put himself in that position. He did this for each and every one of us. That's why I say Yahshua has the perfect perspective. He understands all of our infirmities. He understands each and every one of the temptations, trials, and the tribulations that each one of us is going through. Yeah, he did it without sin. See, it's nothing we can say. It's nothing we can do. Because all of our sins are as filthy rags when we think about what we can do, what we can give. You know, and I don't care if you're the richest man in the world, you cannot change what's going to happen in your life. Not with the money. The only way you can change it is through repentance. To fall on your knees and ask Yahweh for forgiveness. That's the only thing that you can do. It's like the Pharisee and the sinner. The Pharisee is up talking about all of the things that he's done, and he's tithed of all of this, and you know he fasts twice in the week. He does all these good things. He's building himself up. But the sinner, he won't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He's just banging on his chest saying, "Father, forgive me, a sinner." And Yahshua asked, which one of these went down to his house justified? And the correct answer was that sinner. See, because he was humble. And that's where we have to be, brother. We have to understand that it's not what we do, because we're not in control except of our own desires, of our own direction. Yes, we can change the direction we go in by being humble, by being repentant. But it's not like we can change anything with our stature and life. See, when you come before Almighty Yahweh, he's not going to say, how many million-dollar deals did you do if you're a real estate agent? He's not going to say, if you're a contractor, how many great edifices did you build for my honor and glory? You understand? It's going to be about what you did for your brother. And that scripture where it says, but when did we see you hungry? Or when did we see you naked? Or when did we see this? And he says, when you've done it to one of these least, you've done it to me. And it's the same with those who didn't do it, that saw that they had someone out here who was homeless and didn't try to help them. Or someone that was hungry and didn't try to feed them. See, our jobs, our purpose in life, we're trying to get to the kingdom of Yahweh, but the way we make a difference is in each and every one of our lives when we help someone else. It's not just about what we do for ourselves. You have to do it for someone else. And Yahshua did that. In verse 3 it says, for consider him that endured such opposition of sinners against himself, that you do not become weary, fainting in your soul. See, we can't give up. We can't say, you know, I've done enough. We just got to keep going. Because Yahshua paid the ultimate price. And he did it for our sins. He didn't do it for his own because he was sinless. You have not resisted the blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation with reasons with you as with sons. My son, regard not lightly the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint when you are reproved of him for whom Yahweh loves, he corrects. And isn't that the way we feel about our children? We love them, so we want to correct them. We want them to walk on that straight and narrow. But you know what? This is the thing about kids, you know? And we were all there, right? We know. Think about kids is this. How many of you have heard, I can't wait till I'm 18. I can't wait till I'm 18 years old and I get out of my parents' house or I'm able to enlist in the Army or go into the Job Corps. I only have to be 16 to get the Job Corps. I can't wait so I can get out of my parents' house. See? How many of us have heard that? You know? As Joshua sits in eternity, he has the perfect perspective to direct us to eternity because he's there. See? No one that doesn't have the fruit on the tree or the experience can tell you how to get somewhere that they haven't got themselves. You know, it's like a mentor program. You have the proper mentor, they got where you want to be. You've chosen that mentor to get you there because he's already there. And we're speaking of like in business or, you know, if you want to become a millionaire and you got millionaires who are mentoring you to get there, then you could probably follow the pattern because they've already achieved it. But Joshua has already achieved it. He's there sitting on the right hand of Yahweh. See? He's already overcome this world. We haven't yet. That's something that we need to understand. And for us to come to that knowledge, we have to follow the directives because he's already there. Excuse me. It says, he already has the perfect perspective to direct us to eternity because he is there, brethren. He has overcome Satan and all of what this world could throw at him. The devil has constantly came after him from every direction, trying him unsuccessfully, no doubt, because he kept coming. And that's the same thing he'll do for each and every one of us. How many of us feel that we have made it in this life? I'm going to read the daily devotion on our website for the day. It says, the eyes of Yahweh are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good, from Proverbs chapter 15, 3. People often believe that they are acting in secret. Think about this now. They hide actions from their parents, spouses, neighbors, work associates, and friends. They attempt to do certain activities without others knowing about them. But Yahweh sees. His eyes are in every place. We may not fully understand how he does this, but we must accept the fact that we cannot hide. We can't hide anything from Yahweh. There's nothing that we can hide from. He is observing both our nice neighbors and those neighbors who commit crimes. He sees what we do when we do it. We can hide nothing from him. The thought of Yahweh seeing should regulate our every action. It should cause us to care and caution with our words and behavior. It should encourage us to behave wisely in ways that are acceptable to him, knowing that he is watching. Should be another source of encouragement to always do the right thing. You know, and that's important that we do the right thing at every turn, because we know that Almighty Yahweh is there in our lives. It's just that we have been, I don't want to say conned, I'll say we've been led to believe that, yeah, bamboozled is a good term. We've been led to believe that we're going to be okay by doing it our way. One of the things that impressed me, and this is from Annette Meyer, she says, you know, children, they are so wonderful because they trust completely. They trust their parents completely. And we have to be that way with Almighty Yahweh. We have to trust completely. And until we can get to that point where we trust completely, okay, you know, we become adults. So therefore, we start to put our foot in our mouth and we start to, you know, go against the commandments and the directions that he's given us. Because when Yahweh told Adam and Eve, you know, and placed them in the garden and told them that you cannot, you can have food from any tree in the garden except the one in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So they were instructed. They had been given commandments. And this is well before Horeb. So they knew commandments. They knew how they should treat one another. So what happened? Satan got in, and Satan tells them, and asked, he came to Eve, okay, and said, did Yahweh tell you you couldn't, I mean, that you could eat from all the trees of the garden? And he said, yeah, we can, except. And he said, oh, okay, there's an exception. Is it because he didn't want you to have this knowledge? He knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes are going to be open, you're going to have some knowledge. So then that's where the bamboozle come in, see? You know, it's like, yeah, Yahweh told me I shouldn't do this, but, you know, so now, is it that Yahweh's keeping something from me? Now, the relationship, because we trusted completely, the relationship was there, you know. He had never done or said anything negative. It's all been great. So why then would we stop listening to the Yahweh? Why would we accept someone that comes into the picture? Because we hadn't been lied to. We didn't know what a lie was. They didn't know what rain was either, because it had never rained. But just because you didn't know something, if your parents tell you, look, this is what I want you to do. See, your parents have a better perspective than you do because they have experience. See? They don't want you to know the evil. They don't want you to know the bad. And Yahweh did not want Adam and Eve to know evil as well. And Yahshua sits in a perfect perspective because he's already gotten to where we want to go. He already knows where we want to go and what we need to do to get there. So for us to accept the word of Yahweh, we're going to be blessed. In Proverbs chapter 3, turn over there. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, verse 1, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace will they add to you. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart. And lean not upon your own understanding. And that's where we go off the track, brethren. We lean on our own understanding. We believe we know more than Almighty Yahweh. See, because we've become adults. You know, we're big, we're wearing the big boy pants. The big girl pants. See? We're parents ourselves. Some of us are grandparents. So, you know, we have this specialized knowledge, but it's still not greater than the knowledge of Yahweh. because he tells us that if we will trust in him, it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Which way you want to go? Do you want to go to the kingdom of Yahweh, or do you want to go to the lake of fire? You have a choice. See, Satan is trying to get you to that lake of fire because, you know, that's one less for Yahweh. See? It's always a competition. See, he's the one that wants to be the big chief. Yet he already knows he's fallen short. But he's trying to take as many with him. Because his fate is set. He's already going to the lake of fire. He's already going to be destroyed. He knows that. And that's a good question. Can Satan repent? Think about it. You know, and it tells us in the Word, we'll be judging angels. So you can see, I mean, maybe he doesn't want you to get there because, you know, he didn't want Peter to, you know, judge him. Think about where we are. Man has been made a little lower, but our end result is going to put us above those angels. See, because we have the opportunity to choose. I mean, the angels did too, because a third of them chose to follow Satan, and two-thirds did not. But we have a special relationship with Almighty Yahweh. We're overcoming this life. We can overcome Satan the devil. That shows that we can choose our direction. We can choose to be a part of the kingdom of Almighty Yahweh. In verse 7 it says, be not wise in your own eyes. Too often, man has become wise in his own eyes. We have built ourselves up to believe that we are something that we are not. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. We can do this, brethren. We can overcome Satan the devil and this life. Back in I was falling apart. Hebrews chapter 12. It says in verse 6, for whom Yahweh must be correct, and scourges every son whom he receives. It is for chastening that you endure. Yahweh deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not correct? And you think about that. How many parents have children that they don't correct? If you love them, you're going to correct them. You want them to receive a blessing. You want them to have a good life. Now, we grew up in a different age, and I'm saying this because when we grew up, it was the 50s and the 60s, and things were totally different. I'm going to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Martin Luther King was sitting in a jail in Birmingham, Alabama, and he was being chastised by the SCLC because he was telling them that if an unjust law is a law that we don't need to keep, okay? See, because you have to understand that all men are created equal. And how could we, and speaking of Martin Luther King, being an African-American, a black man at the time, saying, be unequal? You know, because this law is saying, because a white man can do this, but a black man can't. And we're talking about the right to vote. We're talking about things that are on this is still dealing with our lives in government and the things that we see because we receive as Americans these same inalienable rights as everyone else. And this is what Martin Luther King was trying to get them to see, that that law that I'm in jail for was not a righteous law. It's not a law from Yahweh. It's a man's law that was designed to put one man above another. Okay? The Bible tells us to respect the government and those laws. But if those laws are in contrast to his laws, which law are we supposed to keep? We have to keep Yahweh's law. And see, we might end up in a country where they're not keeping Yahweh's law. They may be keeping Sharia law. You understand? And that law may conflict with the word of Yahweh. So what are we supposed to do? We have to keep Yahweh's law above. We must obey Yahweh rather than men. Isn't that what the word says? See, but man is going to try, and it has happened in so many societies in here. In Babylon, with Nebuchadnezzar, he builds an image of gold and tells the people, you got to go worship my image of gold. That was contrary to the law of Yahweh. So Daniel and the rest of the Hebrews couldn't do it. See, and we're going to find ourselves in these particular situations where we have to choose to do Yahweh's law. We must obey Yahweh rather than man. Because man is going to put you in that position. See, but Yahshua, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, is sitting in the perfect position. He has the perfect perspective to direct us to the kingdom. He sees these pitfalls. He sees the things that are coming upon us in our lives before we see them. And that's why he tells us, it is for chastening that you endure. Yahweh deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not correct? And we need that correction, brethren. We need the direction from on high. And it's not just about the clean food law. It's not just about the Sabbath. It's about the whole thing. He tells us and directs us how we need to get along with one another. He teaches us to love our neighbor as well as our enemy. Now, I don't know. I mean, I do know, but in dealing with a lot of different comparative religions, there are religions out there that teach you to use a sword, and you know, for eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. See? But we also have to understand that Yahshua, what did he tell Peter? Put away that sword, okay? Yeah, but he still healed the high priest's servant when he put his ear back together. See, because what happens is that he says, if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. Okay? Now, there are some people who are going to be martyrs because they're going to die for the kingdom. They're going to die for what Yahshua stood for. He was one, because when you look at what the word says, he says, you're all going to be offended at me this night. And they were scattered. You know, even though they said, no, no, master, we're going to die for you. We'll do this for you. When it came down, they all scattered. Okay? And that's what happens when the reality meets the road, when people are, their life is at hand. But it took a while, but sure enough, they did come back, each one of them that were destined for the sword, for martyrdom, were a martyr. Okay? I know John was boiled in oil, and they couldn't kill him, so they put him out on an island in Patmos, and, you know, he's out there. But you think about what your purpose is. Yahshua has a purpose for each and every one of us, brethren. He's sitting in that perfect perspective. He knows what you have to go through for him. Like Paul was totally against him, even though he knew what he was doing was right. He's one of the Sanhedrin. He's one of the leaders of Israel. But how many of the leaders of Israel was in opposition to Yahshua the Messiah when he was here on this planet? I mean, there were a few of them, like Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, the ones that, you know, came to him by night. They knew. Why did they come at night? Because they didn't want to be seen with him during the day. Because the leadership would have put a little mark against their name and says, you know, so-and-so over there ain't right. You know, they're not with us. They're not with the program. See? Because this man knows letters, has never learned. He was not in our yeshivas. He didn't graduate under Gamaliel and some of the other leaders and doctors of the law. Yet he knows these laws. He knows the commandments. And he's healing people on the Sabbath. He got 6 other days during the week to heal people. Why is he healing on the Sabbath? Because he has the perfect perspective. He knew that that person needed that healing that day. If it offended them, so be it. He didn't care about the administration of the Jewish people, the Sanhedrin. He was concerned about his Father in heaven, Almighty Yahweh, and the relationship that Almighty Yahweh had with him. And that's what we have to do. We have to be at that point in our lives where we care more for Almighty Yahweh and our neighbor and our enemy than we do the administration, than we do what they tell us to do. Yeah, we're going to keep the commandments. We're going to do what's right. See, but Yahshua took it to the next level. See, when they came after him, they were trying him constantly. And that's what we have to understand. And the religious authority of that day, the Jewish people, were trying Yahshua, and they were motivated by Satan the devil. That's who was behind it. So when the accuser of the brethren comes upon you and says, "Brother so-and-so, we have a problem because of this or that," think about where it's coming from. What's the motive? Who is trying to gain? See, Satan wants to divide households. He wants to divide marriages. He wants to divide and conquer Yahweh's people. He's looking for a way in, a chink in the armor. See? So when we think about exactly where we are, we have to look and see who is going to profit. Is the profit going to be for Almighty Yahweh? What is it going to be for Satan the devil? It says in verse 8 in chapter 12 of Hebrews, "But if you are without chastening, of which all have been made partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we had the fathers of our flesh to chasten us, and we gave them reverence." And I'm telling you, when we grew up, we got our whippings. We didn't back talk. You know, we reverenced our parents because we knew they were right in raising us the way they raised us. Because that's what they knew. Okay? Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as it seemed good to them, but he for profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. All chastening seemed for the present to be not joyous, but grievous, yet afterward it yields peaceable fruit to them that have been exercised by it, even the fruit of righteousness. Therefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the palsied knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. Brethren, as I said, Yahshua sits with the perfect perspective. He's the one that can guide us to the kingdom. In Jeremiah chapter 23, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 5, it says, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will raise to David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Yehuda shall be saved, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, by which he shall be called, Yahweh Zidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness. Therefore, behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that they shall no more say, as Yahweh lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as Yahweh lives, who brought up and who led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from the countries where I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land." And this is something that is happening in these last days. It's in Aliyah. The Jewish people are coming from all over the world back to the Holy Land. But see, Israel has to come back from captivity. And as Israel comes back from captivity, you're going to see the difference. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1 there. It says, "If there is therefore any exhortation in the Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any tender mercies and compassions, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself." Now, how often do we count someone better than ourselves? See, this is something that we have to learn from Yahshua. How to overcome this life. How to place someone else above us. Not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. Have this mind in you, which was also in the Messiah Yahshua, who existing in the form of Elohim, counted not the being on an equality with Yahweh a thing to be grasped. He was already there. But he allowed himself to come down, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Therefore also Yahweh highly exalted him and gave him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Yahshua every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yahshua the Messiah is master to the glory of Yahweh the Father. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Colossians 1:9. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray and make requests for you, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of Yahshua, to all pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of Yahweh." And that's something that we need to do every day, brother. We need to increase in the knowledge of Yahweh. And how do we do this? "Strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, to all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." See, we have a choice. We can choose to go in the direction of darkness, or we can choose to go in the direction of the light. And we know from John chapter 1, it talks about the light. Yahshua is that light. See? And each one of us can walk in that light. who delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have our redemption, the forgiveness of our sins, who is the image of the invisible Yahweh, the firstborn of all creation. The firstborn of all creation. See, he has the preeminence. He's the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end. For in him were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and to him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his torture stake. Through him, I say, whether things upon the earth or things in the heaven, and you being in times past alienated and enemies in your mind and your evil works. That he took us from our carnal nature, brethren, and gave us a greater nature, a spiritual nature. As we've become partakers of that Holy Spirit. And this is why we needed the baptism of Yahshua the Messiah, so that we could overcome this world. Yet, he is now reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and without blemish and unreprovable before him, if so be that you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the good tidings which you heard, which was preached in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. We're going to go across the page here. It says, if then you were raised together with the Messiah, seek the things that are above, where the Messiah is, seated on the right hand of Yahweh. Remember, brethren, he's in the perfect position. He has the perfect perspective to see that we don't go off to the right or to the left. He can give us our guidance. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. And too many people are concerned with the carnal, with the things that are going to corrupt, the things that are going to decay. You can't take it with you. You definitely cannot take it with you. As you've heard in the past, you don't see any U-Hauls being pulled by the hearse. You know, when you leave this, you're going to leave as naked as you came in. They can have a suit on you, but trust me, it's going to decay. For you died, and your life is hid with the Messiah in Yahweh. We have to get over it. We have to get over this earth, this world. We have to overcome Satan the devil, just as Yahshua the Messiah did. When the Messiah, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also be manifested with him in glory. And that's what we want to be, brethren. We want to overcome this life. We want to be with Yahshua in the kingdom. Our closing passage, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 17. This is the high priestly prayer. This is Yahshua's high priestly prayer. We're going to start at verse 1. It says, these things spoke Yahshua, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he should give eternal life. Yahshua has that ability to give eternal life. Satan does not. And this is life eternal, that you, they should know you, the only true Elohim, and him whom you did send, even Yahshua the Messiah. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify you, me, with your own self, with the glory which I had before the world was. I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Now they know that all things what you have given me are from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from you. And they believe that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them, and I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name that you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That is one of the toughest things that has to be dealt with right now. It's against the law to use the name of Yahweh in the Holy Land. The Jewish people have a ban against the name. You can't use the name of Yahweh without creating a problem. And the more people, even during this day, there was a ban against the name. Because they told the apostles when they brought them in and they scourged them and whipped them, we taught you not to use that name. But what did they respond? We must obey Yahweh rather than men. And again, this is very important that we understand the name of Yahweh and the power behind it. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them. See, he's in that perfect position. He guards his people. He watches over each and every one of us. And not one of them perished but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word. And the world hated them because they are not of the world. Even as I am not of the world, I pray not that you should take them from the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, even so I sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also might be sanctified in truth. Neither for these only do I pray, but for them also that believe on me through their word. And that's us today, brethren, because we're believing on the word. We're believing on Yahshua through this word that was given by John, by Paul, by Peter. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us. That the world may believe that you did send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that you did send me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me from the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world knew you not, but I knew you, and these knew that you did send me. And I made known to them your name. The name of Yahweh is very important, brother. Don't let anybody fool you or say it's not. It's the key. Yahweh's name is the key. And we'll make it known that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. And truly, Yahshua is still with us today. He's still in that perfect position. He's got the perfect perspective to direct us to the kingdom. At the end of John 16, verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And truly, Yahshua has overcome the world. And each one of us will overcome the world if we remain in Yahshua's love. Brethren, Almighty Yahweh has given us a Savior. He has given us a leader, the bishop, and director of our souls. Yahshua the Messiah, who is in the perfect position. He has the perfect perspective to lead us to the kingdom because he has overcome the world. And he's there. He's made it. So he can lead us there if we're faithful in all things. May Almighty Yahweh bless you as you continue to serve him. If you'd all rise at this time, I'm asked Brother Davis to come and close with a word of prayer.
Father Yahweh, as we come humbly but boldly before your throne of mercy and grace, we praise and thank you for this word on this day so that we can rest in you, Father Yahweh, and continue to seek your face in all ways and all things. We ask, Father Yahweh, that you would allow us to embrace you, even embrace your chastisement that will yield the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We ask right now, Father Yahweh, that you would be with each and every one of us that say we love you and deal real iffy with our brother and his sister and we see on a daily basis. We ask, Father Yahweh, that you would strengthen us and guide us and keep us in all ways and all things. We ask, Father Yahweh, that you would continue to allow we, your children, to bring forth fruit unto thy glory. Allow us to be not only hearers of your word, but hearers and doers. And as we depart from this place, but not out of thy presence, we ask you, Almighty Yahweh, to be with us in all ways and all things as we continue to rest in you. These and all other blessings we ask in Yahshua's name. Alleluia.
Alleluia.